So, now specifically, like, what research do you do? Like right now, currently, what research are you currently doing?
Oh, well, I have been active in magnetohydrodynamics in their stellar molecular clouds, and particularly on processes involving shock waves. So a shock wave is a disturbance that happens when you have supersonic flow. So we know this on, you may have heard maybe a sonic boom sometimes from a jet flying overhead. If it flies faster than the speed of sound, it can generate a shock wave in the atmosphere. Well, in interstellar clouds, these places, the gas can move rapidly in some regions and form a shock wave. Sometimes stars generate things called jets, and jets emanate from a young star, and those generate shock waves. And so some of my research has been on the physics of those shock waves, in particular, what it might do to the gas itself, because a shock wave is very energetic. It can heat up gas and dust. When you heat things up, you can do maybe interesting chemistry. We do know that there are many very interesting molecules in interstellar clouds. We actually refer them as interstellar molecular clouds because they got molecules. And maybe molecules that could be essential to protobiology or prebiotic precursors. So things that may have ultimately led to us may have been formed in the interstellar medium. And so I've been involved in research and trying to accurately model or understand the physics of those shocks and to see what kind of effects they could have on the chemistry that could occur maybe in the wake of those interstellar shocks. So there's a link perhaps to what we call astrobiology in those aspects about things that might have formed out there that got delivered to a planet. For instance, water. Water, as I mentioned, is formed out there, but it's got to be delivered to a planet. But maybe more complicated molecules could have also been accumulated on those planets as well. Maybe something helpful to early the formation of, well, maybe the creation of life itself.
So, how could, say, a shock wave like affect something on a molecular structure? Because how would the shock wave be formed? Because, say, on Earth, the shock wave is formed by, say, something going past the sound barrier and it creates like the water vapor on the edge. But how does that occur in the universe? Like it's a vacuum, and vacuum is so like the density is almost like air, but not really.
Right. Well, the thing is that there is stuff there. So it's not a perfect vacuum. There is stuff there. It's a lot less dense than the air that you and I breathe, but there's a lot of volume. There's a lot of matter. So it's spread out over a large distance. When stars turn on, there are observations that show they generate outflows of material, things we call jets. And these jets can whoosh out to the surrounding medium. And even though it's low density, it can form shock waves. We can see them. They're very bright regions. What happens is they get heated up, and the gas and the molecules there emit light. Just like if you have a neon light bulb, you put an arc through it, the neon gas emits light that we can use to light a room. And so these jets, we see them go out, and we see them come out of active galactic nuclei or supermassive black holes from galaxies or from young stars. We actually see these jets, and they impact this low density gas, but they impact it, and they're still able to heat it up. And so these are things, for in the case of protostars or young stars, they're close to stars. So these are basically things that are being formed close to the star, which it makes it convenient. Maybe that can be incorporated into the star, or maybe nearby stars that are in the process of turning on as well. Stars actually form in groups, in clusters. And so maybe one star can turn on, emit a jet, and then make interesting molecules that can survive and then maybe become incorporated into stars that are, slightly younger, maybe younger brothers or younger sisters of the original star.
So, back to like the talking of planets and suns, I mean stars. So, could the formation of a star affect, say, the formation of something near it? Because if you look at, say, binary star systems, there are two suns revolving around each other. How does that happen? Why didn't the other star technically turn into a planet? Because, you know, the other star could have affected it in such a way.
You're right. And so that depends upon the conditions in these clouds. And just today, I received, I'm on the newsletter for the National Radio Astronomical Observatory. They've looked at other galaxies as well, and they find these molecular clouds there. And they looked at many different galaxies, and of course we can look at our own galaxy, and we find that not all clouds are the same. So they have different histories. And so in some cases, you may have had the matter accumulate and two stars form that are nearby to form, say, a binary, whereas maybe other ones would have formed by themselves. Also, they can be different masses. Our sun is a regular star, but there can be stars that are more massive. And stars, oddly enough, that are more massive, they don't live as long. They burn bright and fast. And some of them can blow up. And when they do that, some of them can disrupt the stellar nursery. They can blow away the molecular cloud and stop the star formation process. Or they can disrupt clusters of stars. They can impart energy. And so we see stars fly out, and they may even disrupt solar systems. They may have free-floating planets there because of the blow-up. Or if they're too closely packed, stars have their own gravity, of course, and they can cause ejection of things. And so it's got to do with how many form in one place. Do you have any whoppers that blow up? Or are they so crowded together that they push out some other stars or maybe even some of their planets? So it's a complex process. And that too. I refer to that as noise. Or people call that feedback. I don't think about that stuff. I think about the earlier stuff, but other people are worrying about the later stuff. So we got people all over in different branches of the field working on different aspects of this problem. But very likely we did form in a cloud ourselves, and somehow that cloud got dispersed, and our brethren, our cousins or whatever, got dispersed throughout the galaxies as well. Although I did go to an American Astronomical Society meeting about 12 years ago where some observational astronomers claimed to have found one of our cousins. That is a star that is so close in its chemical composition to our own sun that they came to the conclusion that they must have been born at most at the same time and in the same place. Now, I was blown away by that because I didn't think that sort of trace back was possible. But at the time, they made a very convincing argument. So eventually, at some point, the stars do get kicked out of these clouds, and they then populate the galaxy, and then, you know, they make the bright, shiny objects that we see in pictures of galaxies.
Okay, so now, last question. What do we learn from this? How does this change the perspective of how we look at, you know, what we see on Earth or what we look up in the sky?
Well, for one thing, we see that it's an outgrowth of physics that we understand, and that this physics is prevalent throughout the universe. And so it may be the case that maybe we're not that special after all. It may be that this process took place, and we do know it formed other planets, of course, and we are learning that there are more and more, we see more and more, and that planets may be very ubiquitous for stars and things like that. And of course, if you form planets, then maybe you have water other places where maybe you have other life. And so that gives us the viewpoint that maybe we live in a very interesting universe, which there may be other places with life, perhaps even other civilizations. And so personally, I find that to be very profound, and it just makes this universe seem even more interesting, even though it's an interesting place, even if we were the only people around. But the fact that we may other people to share the universe with, other beings perhaps, I find that to be appealing and profound. It certainly affects my life in that it makes me wonder and question about things like that. And I just think it's really neat.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Silek, for coming here and talking with us. Well, this is Nitin Pagal, correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and thank you for listening.